我们继续来学习以弗所书的信息。
We continue to listen to the messages in Ephesians.
我们读到第六章第一节到第四节。
We will be reading Ephesians 6:1-4.
我们大家都不喜欢被别人管。
We don't like to be governed by others.
因为觉得被别人管就是不自由。
Because when we are governed by others, we don't have freedom.
我们喜欢别人听我们的，我们不喜欢听别人的。
We like others to listen to us, we don't like to listen to others.
我们觉得被别人管就是我们吃亏了。
If we listen to others, then we are losing out.
如果我们能够不服那些的规则，不照着那个规则做事，我们觉得我们占了便宜了。
If we feel that we don't have to follow rules and regulations, then we got some benefits.
我是出生在中国大陆文化大革命的后期。
I was born in mainland China during the later stages of the Cultural Revolution.
没有赶上那个很混乱的时期。
I wasn't in that truly chaotic period.
但是那些个时期所留下的一些的口号，从小就好像种在我的心灵里面一样。
But yet those slogans from that period was also implanted in our hearts.
印象非常深刻，比如说造反有理。
I have a very deep impression that it is okay to do revolutions.
打倒反动的学术权威。
And then we need to be anti-authority and then to knock them down.
我记得我上小学的时候就读过一篇课文啊，那是小学课本里面的语文课本里面的文章，叫反权威。
And I remember this essay that I read when I was in elementary school about anti-authority.
所以从小就觉得这个权柄啊，有权柄的人呢，都是要被反对的。
So from the beginning, I always feel that those with authority is somebody to be opposed.
上大学的时候我本来可以去北京读书，却跑得更远的地方，跑去上海。
Originally, when I was in college, I could have gone to Beijing, but actually, I went to Shanghai.
就是心里有个念头说，离家越远越好，没有人管我了。
Because I felt that maybe it's better to be as far away from home as possible. Nobody would be ruling over me.
好像就觉得这才是自由。
And then I felt that maybe that was freedom.
今天我们当中很多小朋友哈。来到教会是乖乖的。
Today we have many children who come to church and just kind of obeying the parents.
从小跟着父母嘛，来教会好像很自然的事情。
It seems natural to follow the parents to come to church.
但是如果他在离家之前这段时间，在小的时候，我们做父母的，做教会的主日学的老师，没有把这种真正顺服权柄的观念教给他们的话，他们很容易离开这个环境以后，就会离开教会。
But yet in the period before they left home for their college, that if we as parents and teachers did not truly teach them the meaning of obeying authority, then it would be very easy for them to leave church after they left home.
好像每个人都是这样，为什么会这样呢？
Why is it everybody's like that?
当然有一个很重要的原因，就是在这个人类的社会当中啊，这个掌权的人常常给人一种很坏的印象。
And it's because in human society, those in authority oftentimes give people a bad impression.
许多掌权的人是在滥用权柄。
Many people in power are abusing their authority and power.
他们使用他们权柄，为他们权柄之下的人甚至带来了很大的伤害。
And they actually brought about a lot of hurt for the people under their authority.
政府滥用他们的权柄欺压百姓。
The governments will abuse the power to oppress the people.
老板可能滥用权柄去欺诈他的员工。
And the bosses may be abusing the power to squeeze out anything from the employees.
甚至有些父母也会滥用他们的权柄去虐待儿女。
And even parents sometimes would abuse their authority to abuse the children.
所以这些事情的发生都会我们对这个权柄有一些的怀疑。
So that all brought about some of the doubts in our minds about authority.
然而当我们回到圣经里面的教导，我们会发觉反叛、反权柄是魔鬼的作为。
But yet when we go back to the Bible, we'll find that anti-authority is really the works of this devil.
魔鬼怎么从天使，一个美丽的天使，会变成魔鬼的呢？
How come the devil would turn from a beautiful angel into Satan and the devil?
就是他不服上帝的权柄。
Because he was not under the authority of God.
他想跟上帝同等。
He wants to be equal to God.
他不想以上帝为上帝。
He didn't want to treat God as God.
他甚至要取代上帝的位置。
He even wants to replace God.
他就从一个美丽的被造的天使堕落成 魔鬼，抵挡神的这个势力。
And he fell from a beautiful created angel into the devil Satan.
人类的堕落也是从反叛神、不听从神开始。
And the fall of human beings also started with rebellion from God.
所以我们这个生在、长在这个罪恶当中的人，就里面就有一种不服权柄的一种的本性。
So all of us who were born in sin would have this inner nature of anti-authority.
而且这件事情越到末世的时候表现得越明显。
And then this is becoming more and more manifested in the end years.
当人里面的这些想法、人里面这些的罪性不断不断的扩展在社会上更多的表现的时候，就形成了各种各样末世的特征。
And when our sinful nature was more and more developed in the last days, and it becomes more and more exemplified in this world.
保罗在提摩太后书里面就警告我们，你该知道末世必有危险的日子来到。
And Paul was warning us that mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days.
因为那时人要专顾自己，贪爱钱财，自夸，狂傲，谤读，违背父母，忘恩负义，心不圣洁。
People will be lovers of themselves, suffer of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to the parents, ungrateful, unholy.
什么是末世的第一个特征？就是专顾自己。
What is the first symptom of the last days is that people will be lovers of themselves.
我们想的都是自己的事情。
We often about things about ourselves.
我们不服权柄，我们想自己做主。
We don't want to obey to authority, we want to be our own Lord and King.
我觉得怎么好，我就应该怎么说。
If I feel what is good, then I'm going to say it this way.
我认为对的，我就要这样去做。
If I think that this is right, then I'm going to do it like that.
谁要不让我说话，谁要打制我，那就是阻碍，剥夺了我的权利。
Anyone who would stop me from talking like that is to take away my rights.
自夸，违背父母，这都是人以自我为中心，一种犯罪以后不服权柄的一种的表现。
Boastful and disobedient to parents are all symptoms of that anti-authority.
无亲情，不解怨，好说谗言，不能自约，性情凶暴，不爱良善，卖主卖友，任意妄为，自高自大，爱厌乐，不爱神。
Without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous,rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God.
所以在末世的一个突出的特征当中，很重要的一点就是人不服从权柄。
And so a very important characteristic of the last day is that people are not under authority.
在家里做儿女的不服父母的权柄。
When those children at home would not obey the parents.
进入社会不服从这个政府法律的这个规则的权柄。
Enter into society would disobey the rules and regulations of the government.
甚至在教会当中也有这种的现象，不服属灵的权柄。
And even in the church, there are symptoms that we don't obey the authority in the church.
所以你注意，我们读这一大段，从第五章第十八节开始，它着重的那个讲的重点，慢慢就落到这样一个顺服这个主题上面。
And so starting in chapter 5, verse 18, you see that it was moving into this whole theme of submission and obeying authority.
当人重生得救以后，整个这个趋势，这个反叛的趋势，不服权柄的趋势应该被转变过来。
After we receive our salvation, that our old hidden nature of disobedience should be replaced.
怎么转变的呢？
How should we change?
是从被圣灵充满，以神为主，让神坐在那个我们心中的宝座上开始的。
It should be starting with God sitting on the throne in our heart.
不要醉酒，酒能使人放荡，乃要被圣灵所充满。
Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit.
服神的管，服圣灵的管，这是圣灵充满的意思。
Obeying the governance of the Holy Spirit is the meaning of being filled by the Spirit.
然后到二十一节，他就讲了，被圣灵充满的人有一种的能力，他有一种纯敬畏基督的心。彼此顺服的能力。
And then in verse 21, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have this authority, you have this ability to submit one another out of reverence for Christ.
接下来他讲夫妻的关系啊，亲子的关系啊，奴仆和主人的关系。但是他贯穿这些关系的主题就是什么？就是顺服。
And then he started talking about the relationship between husband and wife, between parents and children, and master and slave. And all that throughout is talking about submission.
所以五章二十二节就讲说，你们做妻子的要顺服自己的丈夫，如同顺服主。
5:22, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as you do to the Lord.
那今天我们读的六章第一节就讲说，你们做儿女的要在主里面听从父母，这是理所当然的。
And today what we read in 6:1, children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
下周我们读下一段的时候，六章第五节他又回来了，他讲说，你们做仆人的要恐惧战惊，用诚实的心听从你们肉身的主人，好像听从基督一样。
And then next week we'll be reading 6:5, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ.
所以这里有两个词哈，这个圣经里面讲到这些顺服的，一个叫顺服，一个叫听从。
And then there are two words that are used here. One of them is submission, and one of them is obedience.
讲到夫妻的时候，是讲到妻子要顺从自己的丈夫。
And when you talk about husband and wife, it talk about submission.
对儿女讲话的时候，他换了一个词，叫做你要听从你的父母。
And when you start talking about children, it start different, use a different word about obedience.
那仆人也是啊，要听从他们肉身的主人。
And the same thing for the servant, that they obey their earthly masters.
那这两个词哈，体现在这个亲子的关系上的时候，他就用这个听从这个词。
And so when this concept was manifested in the parent-children relationship, we talk about obedience.
讲到这个亲子关系的时候，这里面很简单，用四句话讲出四个基本重要的原则。
And then there were four simple sentences to talk about four principles of this relationship.
所以读这一段哈，我们就觉得哦，四句话好像就把这个事情讲完了。
So when we read this passage, they said, oh, four sentences finish talking about the subject.
应该在这里写四本书才对啊。
Actually, you should write four books.
今天我们在这个亲子关系啊，如何教养儿女啊，大量的各种各样的书籍，大家都可以找到的。
We can find many, many books about how to teach your children today.
但是我们回来读神的话，神创造了婚姻家庭，神创造了这些的关系，神在讲这个亲子关系的时候，却简简单单就用了四句话。
But when we go back to the Bible, we find that God who created this whole relationship has four simple sentences about it.
两句话是给儿女的。
Two sentences for the children.
做儿女的，第一个要听从自己的父母。
First, children obey your parents.
第二件事情就是要孝敬父母。
Second, honor your parents.
另外两句话是给做父母的。
The other two sentences for the parents.
做父母的第一要做的是，这个很难在其他的书籍当中你能找到哈，把这件事情放在做父母的首先要注意的事情哈，就是不要惹儿女的气。
And the first sentence you won't find in books, but the first sentence is about do not embitter your children.
第二句话就是讲说，我们应该照着主的教训和警戒来养育我们的儿女。
Second, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
所以对儿女的第一个命令就是要听从父母。
First commandment for the children, obey your parents.
中文这个听从翻译的非常好哈，因为这正把它希腊文的那个原来的意思哈 ，to hear under 哈，在底下听，首先是听，听完以后顺从。
And so the Chinese translation actually is a very good translation because it has that meaning of first listen and then follow.
首先要听见，听到，听懂父母在讲什么。
First, you need to hear it and understand it, what the parents saying.
而且很重要，你的反应很重要哈。听到的目的是为什么呢？为了去服从，为了顺从，为了照着父母的吩咐去做。
And then the, not only that, but also the reaction following is to follow your parents' instructions.
所以保罗特地选择哈，当孩子还小的时候，孩子还留在家里的时候，孩子还不是一个独立的生存的一个存在的时候，他要在家庭当中服从父母的权柄。
And importantly, for the children who are still dependent on their parents and living at home, they need to obey the parents.
因为这是理所当然。
Because that is right.
不这样做就会出问题的。
If you don't do it like that, then you will have problems.
不这样做就不合道理了。
And then it will not be right.
因为上帝创造的时候就把这种次序很自然地放在家庭当中。
Because when God created the family, He put that order into the family.
另外，保罗在讲到说妻子顺服自己的丈夫的时候，是用另外一个词。
And then when Paul talked about the wife submit to the husbands, he's using a different word.
这个词有一点意思，有一点的主动的配合的意思。
And this, the meaning of this word, meaning to kind of proactively to work with.
所以中文把它翻译成顺服。
In Chinese, it talk about to just submit.
不是说你让我去做我就去做，而是心中有一个主动的。心甘情愿的一种的配合，一种的尊重啊，一种的这个接受他的这样的安排，这样一种主动的一种的态度在里面。
And so that has a meaning of being a proactive attitude. It's just not just blindly doing, but really to cooperate with the husband.
所以今天呢，我们主要是看这个亲子关系哈，作为儿女的，当如何去听从，然后在这个过程当中学习配合，学习顺服自己的父母这个功课。
And today we'll talk about the children, how they would learn to submit and obey the parents.
孩子还在小的时候要尊重父母的权柄，从小学习，学习听从父母的话。
And children, when they are young, they need to learn to respect the parents and to obey the parents' instructions.
因为当孩子这样做的时候，他就落在父母的保护当中。
When they do it like that, they will be falling under the protection of the parents.
神设立权柄的时候，最主要的目的是借着有权柄的人去爱在权柄之下的这个人，去保护在权柄之下的这个孩子。
When God set up this structure of authority, is to allow those in authority to provide love and protection for those people underneath.
把刀放下，不要玩那个刀，那会伤你的。
Don't play with the knife. Put it down because it will hurt you.
孩子听了，就远离了那个刀的危险。
When the children listen, then they will be far away from the danger of the knives.
天黑了，不要一个人自己跑到街上去玩，那个很危险。孩子听了，就受到父母的保护。
Well, it is dark outside. Don't go out to play alone. And when the children follow, then they will be under the protection of the parents.
所以孩子从小的时候，他不一定明白背后的道理，但是当他听从父母的时候，他就落在父母的保护当中。
When they were young, they may not understand the reasoning behind, but if they follow, then they will be protected by the parents.
所以你看，圣经里面，保罗给我们解释为什么儿女要听从父母的时候，就很简单，他说这是理所当然的呀。
When Paul explained why children have to obey parents, he says very simply, it is right.
而且这是怎么样？你们做儿女的要凡事听从父母。因为这是主所喜悦的。
And he also said, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord."
这是在哥罗西书里面相对的经文哈，讲到同样的意思的时候，他用另外一种的表述。不仅这件事情是理所当然，而且上帝喜悦，上帝就是这样造的这个次序。
This is a parallel passage in the book of Colossians on the same subject, and he's saying just not only it is right, it also pleases the Lord.
所以儿女为什么一定要听从自己的父母呢？
Why do children have to obey their parents?
这是理所当然的。
Because it's right.
这是上帝喜悦他所创造的一个次序。
This is what God pleases, the order he created.
而且呢，这个因为人犯罪哈，我们刚才讲了，孩子从小心里就有一种自然的反叛的那种罪性的表现。
Because also we are born in sin and we have the sinful nature of disobedience in our hearts.
所以我们从小要把孩子带到主的里面，因为是在主里面听从自己的父母。
So we need to bring our children into the Lord so that in the Lord they will listen to and obey their parents.
从小把神的话种在孩子的心中，让他顺服的不仅仅是父母，而且是顺服父母所代表的那位主。
So that not only do they just obey the parents, but also obey the Lord who is represented by the parents.
所以你看，其实孩子从小到大这个成长的过程就是在学习不断的顺服各种权柄的这个成长的过程。
So the period of growth of the children is really learning how to obey from their young.
孩子长大一点了，他就上学了。那一进入课堂，他就要学习怎么样？要听从老师啊。
And when the children grew up a little bit, then they will go into classrooms and they could learn to obey to the teachers.
老师让小朋友做什么，他们要听从，这样这个课堂才不会乱嘛。才能在一个安静的有秩序的课堂上面好好的受教育。
And only when they listen to the teachers would they have this environment that is orderly and quiet that they can receive instruction.
所以这时候孩子很注意听老师在讲什么，老师不让做的 就不要乱做，老师不让讲话的时候就不要乱发言，这个时候哎，就创造一个稳定的平安的一个环境，好好的学习。
And only when they listen to the teachers to say don't do this or don't talk when you're not supposed to talk would they have this peaceful and orderly environment for learning.
孩子再长大一点，16岁了，他开始学开车了。当他要摸车要上路之前，他要先通过考试啊，学这个交通规则。
And when they are 16, they need to learn how to drive, and first they need to receive instruction on how to obey all the traffic rules.
在正式上路之前，他一定要学习顺从这个交通规则。那他才能够保证自己的安全，也保证别人的安全，要有一个正常的交通次序嘛。
And only when they learn and obey those instructions would they have a safe driving experience.
我们开车在路上的时候，有时候碰到在修路。
And sometimes when we drive, we encounter situations when it is being under construction.
双行道变成了单行道，另外一条道在修路。
Two-way traffic become one-way because the other lane was under construction.
我们就会看到路两头各站着两个人。
And then we'll see that on the two ends, there will be two persons.
他们穿着黄色的马甲。
They will have this yellow vest.
一只手里面举着一个牌子。
And they'll have a sign held up.
另一只手里面拿着一个对讲机。
And then there will be a walkie-talkie on the other hand.
这个牌子的一面想写着stop, 停止。
And then on the side will say stop.
另外一面写着 slow, 慢行。
The other side will say slow.
所以你开到那里的时候，如果冲着你的牌子是 stop 是停止的话，你就要乖乖的停在那里。
So when you see the stop sign, you need to stop.
当他把这牌子一转啊，对面的车走过来以后，一转变成 slow, 你再慢慢的从这里开过去。
And when the other cars have kind of passed by you, and then he turned the sign to say slow, then you need to go slow.
我们不认识这两个人，这两个人也不是警察什么的，但是我们都知道要听从他们的引导。
We don't know those two people, they are not policemen either, but we know that we need to follow their orders.
因为我们知道只有听从他的才不会跟对面来的车相撞。
Because only when we follow their orders, would we not have head-on collisions.
他们这两个人站在那里不是为了限制我们的自由，而是来帮助我们，让我们能够平安的开车。
Those two people are not trying to restrict our freedom, but they are trying to help us to have safe driving.
顺服权柄带来各样的福气，不是吗？
Following authority brings all kinds of blessings.
孩子大学毕业了，他开始进入公司去工作了。
Children have graduated and now they enter into society to work.
那他第一件事情要学的就要听从老板的，听从上司的吩咐，对吗？
The first thing he needs to learn is to obey his bosses.
一个公司要想有效的运行，要完成这个公司的目标。要达到他们盈利的这个水平，必须要有一个正常的一个次序。
And for a company to be operating efficiently and reach the goals of profitability, they need to have that order.
当这里的每一个人都是一级一级的尊重每一级的次序的时候，这个公司才能够正常的运转，才能够正常的完成他们要完成的目标。
Only when each layer follows the orders of the layer above would that company would be operating smoothly and reach its goals.
在家里要学习顺从。
In the family, we need to learn obedience.
在学校里要学习顺从。
We need to learn obedience in schools.
在公司里面，我们借着顺从共同的达到一个目标。
In the company, we need to learn to how to achieve a common goal.
我们进入社会要遵循各样的规则，因为这些的规则是来帮助我们有一个有次序的社会。
In society, we need to follow all kinds of rules and regulations so that the society would operate smoothly.
在教会里面也是一样。
And same thing in the church.
我们要凡事规规矩矩的按照次序而行。
And in everything, we need to follow and do things in an orderly manner.
因为这一切都是为了帮助我们学习顺服那最终的权柄，也就是上帝的权柄。
Because all those things are trying to help us to learn how to obey the ultimate authority, and that is God Himself.
所以从小我们就要教导孩子啊，让他学习尊重人的权柄，到最后他才慢慢的琢磨到怎么去顺从呢上帝的最终的权柄。
So we need to teach children how to obey man's authority, so that in the end he or she would realize how to obey God's authority.
在教会里面有一种好像听起来很属灵的说法，但是却是一种错误的说法。
And sometimes we hear in church something that sounds spiritual, but actually is wrong.
我只听从上帝的，我只服从上帝的权柄，我不服人的权柄。
I only obey God, I don't obey man.
没有错，彼得有讲过这样的话，顺从神，不顺从人，这是理所应当的。
It's true that Peter said something like that, that it is right to obey God and not obey men.
那是当公会的人禁止他们不照着神的吩咐的大使命去行，不传福音的时候，保罗这样讲的。
Is when Peter heard that the Sanhedrin was telling them not to preach the gospel in disobedience to God's commandment.
当地上的任何一种人的权柄，不管是在家里的，还是在社会的，还是在公司的，如果这些的权柄阻碍我们去完成神明确交给我们的使命的话，我们的责任是听从神，不听从人。
So when there are people, men in society or family, was telling us to clearly disobey God's mission, then that's the time when we obey God and not obey men.
但这句话不能推到极端上去。
But you cannot push that sentence to the extreme.
有些人打着这种口号呢，变成了一种自己不顺从权柄的一种的幌子。
And sometimes it becomes a disobedience in disguise when people say slogans like that.
在绝大多数的情况下，上帝是让我们先顺从人的权柄，借着顺从人的权柄来顺从上帝的权柄。
In the majority of the cases, God is telling us to obey man's authority so that ultimately we are obeying God's authority.
因为这所有的这些权柄都是出于上帝的设计和创造。
Because all of that authority was under God's design.
我们听从，学习顺服，在不违背神的旨意的大前提下，我们学习顺从地上，无论是在家里，在社会，在公司，人的权柄，这是顺服的正途。
Under the big premise of that we are following God's mission, then we need to learn how to follow man's authority in society, in family, and in companies.
神把我们这些不完美的人放在一起，形成一个教会。
God has put us all imperfect people to form a church.
教会是要规规矩矩的按照次序而行的，我们要学习彼此的顺服。
We need to learn how to submit to one another if we want to conduct ourselves in an orderly way in church.
顺服就蒙福。
When we submit, we receive blessings.
顺服就会带来保护。
When we are obedient, we will receive protection.
当我们顺服，我们就去学习成长，我们就在一个有次序的环境当中学习成长。
And when we obey, then we would learn how to grow in this orderly way.
我们尊重这些的规则，我们才能够保持一个好的次序。
When we follow all those rules and regulations, then we would have that order being kept.
只有当我们怀着谦卑、彼此顺服的心，我们才能够共同的借着一个合一的身体、合一的教会来完成神给我们的使命。
When we are humble and submit to one another, then we can accomplish the mission that God has given us.
顺服就是蒙福。
When we obey, we receive blessings.
2003年的年初，那个时候我还在神学院刚刚毕业，在做实习传道的时候。
2003, I was still in seminary learning to receiving instructions.
在密苏里的一家华人教会来学习服事神。
And I was learning how to serve God in Missouri, in a Missouri church.
一个星期五，我就收到一通的电话，是从印第安纳州打过来的。
And then I received a phone call from Indiana on a Friday.
是我的主任牧师打给我的电话，问我说这个星期天，就是两天以后，可不可以去印第安纳去讲道。
And I was asked to preach in Indiana 2 days from now.
我知道呀，那个主任牧师呢，那个周末是在印第安纳的当地的华人教会呢，带领门徒训练。
And I know that the senior pastor who called me is going to lead a discipleship training in Indiana on that Sunday.
原以为他带完门徒训练以后，接下来主日他会在那里讲道。
We thought that he will finish the discipleship training and stay there and then also preach there.
但没想到他星期五打电话给我，让我赶过去星期天在那里讲道。
And it was a surprise when he called me on Friday to tell me to go over there to preach on Sunday.
我很快的在心里盘算了一下，单程从我住的地方去那个地方就要7个小时。
And I was quickly calculating it takes 7 hours to drive there.
往返14个小时。
Back and forth 14 hours.
讲到通常45分钟左右。
And I will be preaching about 45 minutes.
这一算好像从时间从这个效率上来讲很不合算。
And sounds, doesn't sound like a good deal from a time and also efficiency perspective.
但我心里想说既然主任牧师打电话给我他一定有他的理由所以我也没有多问我就说答应下来。
So I thought, well, since it's a call from a senior pastor, I didn't really understand the total reasoning behind it. I said yes.
所以第二天是星期六，我开七个小时过去，住在那个教会的同工的家里，然后第二天早晨参加他们的主日崇拜。
So then it took me 7 hours to drive on Saturday, and then I stay over in a coworker's house, and then the next day I preach.
讲到45分钟，讲完到以后就开车七个小时回到家里。
And then 45 minutes of preaching, and after that, 7 hours of driving back home.
那过了两天，那个教会的同工就打电话给我。
And then 2 days later, a coworker from that church called me.
就邀请我再回到他们教会，接受他们的面试，可不可以成为他们教会的牧师
？And then they asked me to go back to the church to be interviewed to become a pastor in that church.
所以那个印第安纳的教会就是我接下来十年当中所服侍的教会。
And that Indiana church became the church that I served for the next 10 years.
所以今天看起来14个小时的旅程真的是蛮划算的。
And then as I look back, that 14 hours of driving is really worth it.
一个周末我就可以明白神对我今后十年的带领，那是很划算的。
And then that one weekend would then help us clarify how God is leading me in the next decade.
但当时并不觉得，当时觉得很辛苦哈、啊，这一个周末跑来跑去的。
And at that time, I didn't feel that way because it felt very tiring going back and forth.
但是当我学习顺服这个主任牧师的引导的时候，我就在他的引导之下，能够分辨出上帝对我服事的引导。
But yet, when I obey the authority of my senior pastor, then eventually I come to learn the authority of God and His leading.
顺服。就会蒙福。
When we obey, we are blessed.
不一定每次你都得问 why.
You don't have to ask why every time.
有些事情我们当时不知道，我们当时也不一定非得要知道。但是上帝有他奇妙的引导，是你在顺服当中才能够体会得出来的。
And we don't have to ask why every time, and sometimes we don't understand at that time, but yet it's through obedience that we truly learn how God will be leading us.
所以整个这一几段的经文是对以弗所书5:21的一个展开，因为以弗所书5:21是讲到彼此顺服的功课。
And then that is really the beginning, starting in 5:21, about all these different lessons about obedience.
彼此顺服如何表现在夫妻当中
？How to submit to one another is exemplified in the relationship between husband and wife.
彼此顺服如何表现在亲子关系里面？
How to submit to one another is exemplified between the parents and children.
彼此顺服如何表现在仆人和主人的关系当中。
How to submit to one another is exemplified between the master and slaves.
所以这里面千万不要把这个彼此顺服解释成妻子要顺从自己的丈夫，丈夫也要顺从自己的妻子，这就不对了。
So don't interpret the word submit to one another meaning that the wives have to submit to husband and husband has to submit to the wives.
如果按照这个思路解释下去的话，儿女要听从自己的父母，难道父母也要听从自己的儿女不成
？And if you start interpreting that way, then you're going to go into the situation of, oh, well, now the children have to obey the parents, and the parents have to obey the children too.
仆人要听从自己的主人，主人也要听从自己的仆人不成
？And does it mean that now the slaves have to obey the masters, and the masters have to obey the slaves?
所以大家要明白，从后面保罗的解释上看。这里所说的彼此顺服是指说我们要学习顺从人的权柄。
And so when we follow all these passages, we understand submit to one another means that we need to submit to men's authority.
所以在夫妻关系当中，他先讲妻子，你们做妻子的要顺服自己的丈夫。
So when he talked about the relationship between husband and wife, he emphasized that the wives have to submit to the husband.
但这件事情丈夫不是没有责任的。
It's not that the husband has no responsibilities.
你怎么能够帮助你的妻子在家里面能活出这种顺服的样式呢？
How can you help your wife to live out this life of submission?
做丈夫的就要爱妻子，爱到一个地步，像基督爱教会一样。
The husband has to love the wife just as Christ loves the church.
你用基督的爱去爱他，你用那种舍己的爱去爱他，爱到一个地步，他就甘心情愿的愿意顺服。
You love him with the love of Christ, and to an extent that she would want to submit.
这是丈夫的责任。
That is the responsibility of husbands.
但是妻子有妻子的责任。
And then wives has her own responsibilities as well.
顺服就是蒙福，神把我们放在各样的关系当中，让我们学习这种踏踏实实的、真真实实的，借着顺服人的权柄来学习顺服上帝的权柄。
When we obey, we are blessed, and God has given us some concrete examples that when we follow and obey in man's authority, that we will be blessed.
在顺服的事情上，最好的榜样不是别人，就是我们的主耶稣基督自己。
And the best example of obedience is our Lord Himself.
他本有神的形象，不以自己与神同等为强夺的，反倒虚己，取了奴仆的形象。成了人的样式，既有人的样式，就自己卑微，存心顺服，以至于死，且死在十字架上。
And he being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross.
为什么基督能够这样存心顺服，以至于死，且死在十字架上呢？
How come Christ had the ability to be humble himself, even death on the cross?
因为他知道他是被爱的。
Because he knew he was loved.
他知道天父的爱是永不止息的。
He knew that the love of the Father never ends.
他明白天父的爱是永远不会改变的。
He knew that Father's love never changed.
所以他知道天父的任何一种的安排都是最好的。
So that he knew any arrangement from his heavenly Father is the best.
在客西马尼园上，他要上十字架的前面那个晚上，他在那里祷告的时候，他就是这样祷告。
He prayed like this in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he went on the cross.
当主耶稣基督知道前面要发生什么事情的时候，他的肉体要被鞭打，头上要戴荆棘的冠冕，要被两手两脚钉在十字架上，那种的痛苦面临的时候，当他知道他要被人唾弃。被人抛弃，孤孤单单的一个人挂在十字架上。他要知道，即使在十字架上，连天父都转脸不看他，要与他暂时的分离的时候，他内心的这种痛苦是非常的大的。
He was greatly pained when he knew that in the next day that he will be flogged and he will be nailed on the cross, and even his father will turn his face away from him.
所以从他这个角度在祷告的时候，他说：“若是可行，就把这个苦杯。”都挪去好不好？
And so he prayed that if it is possible, that take it away.
然而，他相信上帝的爱，相信天父为他的安排都是最好的，所以他接下来祷告说：“不要照着我的意思，乃要照着你的意思去行。”
But yet he knew that his father's love and what his arrangement is the best, so that's why he also continued to pray that do not follow my will, but according to your will.
当基督满心的知道，满心的相信，即使是十字架也没有办法使神的爱与他相分离，天父的爱与他相分离的时候，他就勇敢的去面对神给他的各样的安排。
So he knew that even the cross would not separate God's love from him, so that's why he can courageously continue to follow God's commandments.
所以当我们在学习在人与人之间的关系当中，在顺服神的过程当中，克服各样的难处，克服各样的这种的不服气，这种罪性的拦阻的时候，学习顺服的时候，很重要的一个前提就是要明白基督的爱。
So a very important premise before we endeavor to overcome all the challenges in our interpersonal relationship is to understand Christ's love.
这是为什么在第三章你还记得吗？保罗在为我们祷告，为教会祷告，就是要让我们明白神的爱是何等的长阔高深。
So that's why in chapter 3 was trying to pray for, Paul was praying for us that we would understand how deep and wide of God's love is.
在那里为我们祷告，让我们能够明白那个测不透的爱。
So that we can understand this love that is just kind of without depth.
吩咐我们要顺从的之前，他先为我们祷告说，让神的爱先充满在我们的里面，让我们不再怀疑我们遇到的处境、遇到的这个苦待，甚至虐待，都是若不是神的允许，这些事情都不会发生的，都在神的那个大手的当中，我们才有能力去顺服。
So that before he gave us all these instructions, he wanted to tell us that we need to understand God's love, that in whatever situation we encounter.
盼望我们能够把这个观念深深地印在我们的心中，不管什么样的事情，不管在你当时你是何等的痛苦，你要知道上帝的爱从来没有离开你。
No matter what kind of suffering we are in, we need to understand that God's love has never departed from us.
而且蒙福的捷径就是顺服。
The path to blessings is to obey.
接下来给儿女的第二个吩咐就是要孝敬父母。
The second commandment for the children is to honor your parents.
这是引用十诫的第五诫，告诉我们做儿女的当孝敬父母。
Is to quote the fifth commandment that children have to honor their parents.
十诫当中的前四诫是讲到我们人与神的关系，后六诫中的第一诫讲到人与人之间关系的时候，首先提到就是要孝敬父母。
The first four commandments is about our relationship with God. The next six commandments, the first one, is to honor your parents.
孝敬父母的诫命是在不可杀人、不可奸淫、不可偷窃的之前。
And to honor the parents, that commandment is before all these other commandments of do not commit murder, do not covet other people's properties.
所以我们就知道哈，神是何等的看重我们做儿女的孝敬父母这件事。
So we can see how important it is for God, from God to, for us to be honoring our parents.
为了帮助我们更好的去实行这个诫命，还带上一个应许啊，这里叫第一条带应许的诫命。
And to help us follow this commandment, it's actually give us a promise to go along with it.
当父母需要照顾的时候，我们帮助他们身心灵各方面的需要来照顾他们，这是神所吩咐我们当去做的。
God has commanded us that when our parents need to be taken care of in their body, in their heart, in their spirit, that those are things that we need to do.
我们花时间去陪伴啊有需要的父母，让他不要觉得自己很孤单，这是理所当然，我们做儿女当尽的本分。
So we need to be accompanying our parents when they feel lonely, and that is something that we need to do as children.
他说我们这样做就会蒙福。而且这是第一条带应许的诫命，就会在地长寿。
And it is the first commandment with a promise, and that is that we will have a long life.
那我们就问了，是不是每一个孝敬父母的儿女都一定长寿呢？
Does that mean that every single brother and sister in our church who is good to parents will have a long life?
我们回到这个他引用的出埃及记二十章的经文，我们就明白哈，这个应许是给谁的。
And when we go back to where it came from in Exodus 20, and we know that what this promise is given to.
当孝敬父母，使你的日子在耶和华你神所赐你的地上得以长久。
Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you.
没有错，这个你是单数。
It's true that it's singular you.
但这个应许不是给个人的应许。
But it's not an individual promise.
给以色列这个整体，这里的你是代表整个以色列这个民族。
And it's talking about the you, the Israel nation.
出埃及二十章是在以色列人出了埃及，还没有进迦南之前，神跟他们讲的话。
And this is what God said to them right after they exited Egypt and before they entered into Canaan.
后来四十年以后，他们即将要进到迦南之前。摩西再讲一遍，在生命记的第六章那里又再讲一遍的时候，也是他们还没有在进入迦南地之前给他们的话。
And once again, in Deuteronomy 6, 40 years later, Moses repeated the same thing.
是对这个整个这个民族所讲的，在你们当中做儿女都要学习孝敬父母。
For the entire nation, those of you who are children need to honor your parents.
当你们做一个大的民族，做一个国家的整体，这里的人都这样去做的时候，你们就不会得罪神。你们在所应许要进去的那块地里面，你们在那个地上，这个民族就会存的时间比较长。
And then as a nation, if you follow God's commandment, then you will live long in the land.
当儿女学习孝敬父母，听从父母，父母可以一代一代的把对耶和华的敬畏，对耶和华的这个相信一代一代传递下去，所以他们不至于犯罪得罪神，他们就可以存得比较长久。
So if they honor their parents and they follow the instructions of their parents and kept the faith to God, then they can live long in that land.
所以这是对 一个社会对一个人群的集体，当他们这个社会的整体的文化就是这样，从小学习听从父母，长大以后学习孝敬父母的时候，他们的社会就比较稳定，就能够比较稳定的发展，比较长久。
And it's for the entire society, entire nation that if they obey their parents when they're young and honor their parents when they're old, then that entire society will be stable and live long in that land.
保罗在提摩太前书啊有强调这个原则，我们要懂得去看顾我们的老人，去照顾他们。人若不看顾亲属，就是背了真道，比不信的人还不好，不看顾自己家里的人更是如此。
And the same principle was followed in 1 Timothy. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
但请大家注意，我们都知道啊，给父母啊买一些好吃的，买一些营养品啊，花时间去培养他啊陪伴他们，这些我们都知道要去做的。
We all know that we need to kind of buy some nutritious food for our parents or spend time to accompany them.
但是大家知道吗？对于那些还没有信耶稣的父母亲，我们对他们最大的孝敬是什么呢？不是这些物质上、身体上的照顾，对他们最大的孝敬是把福音传给他们，把他们带到上帝的面前，让他们得到那个永远的生命。
But the biggest way to honor an unbelieving parent is to bring them to the Lord.
对于那些已经信主的父母，其实我们花更多的时间在主里面同行，与主同行的路上，多花时间去陪伴他们，在属灵的事情上，在祷告当中，在神的话语当中，我们一起来陪伴，来帮助他们。
And for believing parents, the way to honor them is to accompany them on their spiritual journey and to pray with them.
在印第安纳，我们对门住着一个姊妹。
In Indiana, there was a sister living across from us.
她的老母亲在中国大陆是信佛的。
Her aging parents in mainland China believes in Buddhism.
信了很多年，因为她身边就有一个女儿，另外一个二女儿是很虔诚的佛教徒。
Because they only have two daughters, and the second daughter is actually a devout Buddhist.
所以我们这个姊妹是大姐啊，这个做大姐的啊，就抓住时间就向母亲传福音，怎么劝怎么劝她也不信。
And this older sister, who is a Christian, would be telling her the parents about the gospel, but no matter how many times she says so, they won't believe.
而且这老母亲一年年的这个身体也不好了，岁数也大了哈，这个所以有一年，这个姊妹就专程回国，目的就是向母亲传福音。
And then the parents are kind of aging, and so this sister took a trip specially to go back to China to talk to them about the gospel.
结果这个旅行都快结束了哈，到最后几天的时候，她跟妈妈还是在讲，妈妈还是没有动心。
And the trip was about to end, even though she was talking to her mom, then but yet the mom would still won't believe.
妈妈就对她讲说：“哎呀，你讲的多好。”
And then the mother would say to her, "You said it very well."
可惜你不在我身边呢，你看。在我身边整天陪着我的是你妹妹。
But yet you are not beside me. The one who is beside me is your younger sister.
我还是跟她信佛好了。
And it's better for me to just follow her and believe in Buddha.
啊，我们这个姊妹就当着妈妈的面大哭一场。
And so this sister would just cry and cry.
后来她回到美国。
And then she came back to China, to U.S.
她才得知原来妈妈已经得了晚期的癌症。
And then she realized that her mom had this terminal cancer.
时间不多了。
Not that much time left.
所以她心里就更加的焦急，她说：“哎呀，我还是要抓紧机会向妈妈传福音。”
So she became even more anxious. I need to grasp the opportunity to preach the gospel.
每天她就把这个思虑小册子预备好，然后再打电话给妈妈传福音，然后问她说：“要不要信耶稣？”她妈妈说：“我要信。”
And then she called her mother and said, "You know, here, you know, the gospel. Do you want to believe?"
哦、他很吃惊，他说我以前传了那么多回，为什么这一次不一样了呢？
And then I said, I talked to you so many times, how come this time is different?
他妈妈就讲说，你上次回国、回来看我，回去之前在我面前那个哭啊，让我真的是很受感动。
And the mother said, the last time when you came back to China, and then you were just crying in front of me, that really moved me.
我看你哭的那个样子，真的像好像跟我生离死别一样。
And the way you cry is like you really have gonna have this kind of depart, you know, the forever departure from us.
好像我们这一分开，母女就再也不能见面了一样。
It's just like when we depart, when you depart, then it's like we can never see one another ever again.
所以我深深知道你真的是爱我。
So I really knew that you love me.
你既然这样爱我，我愿意相信你所相信的那位基督。
Since you love me so much, I want to believe what you believe.
后来这个妹妹，信佛信很虔诚的妹妹来美国探亲，也被这个姐姐带了信耶稣。
And later on, this Buddhist younger sister came to U.S. to visit her, and she also was led to Christ.
我们传福音当中有一种的打法叫做死缠烂打。
And then there is this technique when we preach the gospel is like you just kind of like keep on just grappling on.
这种方法叫做死磨硬泡。
And so this is
it
just
这种的打法专门是适用于女儿向父母亲，儿子向父亲，向父母传福音的打法。
And this technique is suitable for children to the parents.
因为你今天如果不死缠烂打，不死磨硬泡的话，将来有一天真的会跟你的父母生死相别。
Because if you don't employ this technique and just keep going on.Then one day you will be forever separated from your parents.
我们喜欢给我们的父母买营养品，买好吃的，盼望他们在地上能够承受一点，这是孝敬，没有错。
We like to buy nutritious stuff for our parents so that they can live longer on earth, and that is nothing wrong with that.
但是带他们信耶稣，让他们得永生，岂不是更大的孝敬吗？
But if we can bring them to eternal life, isn't that even a bigger way of honoring them?
父母亲生病了，再贵的药我们都舍得为他们去买，为的是把他们病能够治好，这是孝敬，没有错。
When the parents are sick, we are willing to spend big money for medicine, and that's nothing wrong with that.
但是我们要快快的把那个胜过死亡的福音解药，快快的给他们吃。带他们得永远的生命，在耶稣基督里面，让我们永远不分离，这岂不是更大的孝敬吗？
But isn't it a bigger honoring of parents to bring them this antidote to death, the gospel?
所以给儿女的就是这两条吩咐哈，要听从父母。小的时候，当父母年长的时候，要学习哈去孝敬他们。
And so those are the two instructions for the children: is to obey your parents when you are young.And then to honor them when they are old.
好，接下来两个吩咐是给做父母的。
And the next instructions are for the parents.
做父母的不要惹儿女的气。
Parents do not embitter your children.
第二个要照着主教训和警戒去养育他们。
Second, to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
一句经文啊，第四节就把这两个原则都讲出来了。
One sentence in verse 4 it brought out these two principles.
但是大家注意啊，这里面特别讲你们做父亲的。
Here is saying that fathers.
他没有像前面讲你们要孝敬父母啊，要听从父母，没有讲你们做父母的。
And earlier on we were talking about honoring your parents. It didn't talk about the parents.
当然，这里不是把这个母亲好像她就在教育儿女上面没有责任了，不是这个意思。
It doesn't mean that the mothers have no responsibility.
因为你看其他的经文啊，他说我儿，你要听你父亲的训诲，不可离弃你母亲的法则啊，两个人都有责任的哦，因为这要做你项上的华冠，你项上的金链。
Because here in this little verse in Proverbs, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Meaning the mother does also have her responsibility. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck.
另外一处讲说，你们要听从生你的父亲，你母亲老了也不可藐视他，要听从他。
And so listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother when she is old. So you need to also listen to her too.
所以显然不是说母亲在做父母的事情上只丢给做父亲做丈夫的就好。
So it doesn't mean that mothers can give all the responsibility over to her husband and say, fathers, you just need to do it.
但这里保罗却非常明确清楚地把做父亲的单独提出来，这说明什么？说明在教养儿女的事情上，做丈夫、做父亲的要起到主导的作用，他要负主要的责任。
And here, when Paul was mentioning fathers in particular, he is trying to point out that the father has the primary responsibility.
母亲作为帮手，作为妻子，要帮助你的丈夫，两个人一起 来教养金钱的后代。
Wives as helpers of their husbands have to help her husband to bring up the children.
这是父母的共同的责任。
This is the shared responsibility for the parents.
而且父母在这件事上一定要同心。
And they need to be united.
妻子作为帮手，丈夫做父亲的要去主导这件事情。
And wives as helpers and fathers bear the primary responsibility.
第一件事情要做的是不要惹儿女的气。
Here, the first thing, do not embitter your children.
那这是什么意思呢？
What does that mean?
我们找哥罗西书的对照经文一对照，我们就知道了。
And we will look at the corresponding passage in Colossians.
这个意思是在讲什么呢？
What does it mean?
你们做父亲的不要惹儿女的气，恐怕他们失了志气。
Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged.
所以不要让他们失去志气，是说要去 encourage 他们啊。这个词是说把那个勇气、把那个勇敢、把那个信心放在他们的里面。
And to make sure they're not discouraged, to make sure they have that faith and courage inside.
不要借着你的言语、借着你的行为，让他 discourage， 让他失去了勇气、失去了信心、失去了这种的啊跟随神的力量。
Don't let them lose courage or lose the faith.Because of your words and actions.
不要把我们自己常常发怒这种的坏脾气传递给我们儿女。
Don't just become angry easily, and then your bad temper will be passing on to the next generation.
这是我们做父母的责任。
And that is the responsibility of us parents.
然后他就讲说，照着主的教训和警戒去养育他们。
And then he said, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
不是照着专家学者心理学家的方式去训练儿女。
It's not following the instructions of the psychologists or these experts to train our children.
而是照着主的教训和警戒。
Is to bring them up in the instructions of the Lord.
所以做父母的首要的原则，做的事情，我们自己要明白神的教训和警戒。
So the first responsibility for us parents to understand the training and instruction of the Lord.
我们自己要明白神的话语。
We need to understand God's words.
我们要好好的花时间在神的面前去追求，我们才能够用神的警戒和教训去教养我们的儿女。
Only when we know it well can we then pass it on to the training and instruction of the Lord to the next generation.
我们在教养儿女的过程中，什么东西是我们父母看重的呢？
What is it that we need to pay attention to?
是他们的学业，是他们的技能，是他们的运动项目，是他们的钢琴乐器弹得好吗？
Is it that they would have good grades and have good music, good sports?
这些都是好的，但是在这之上最重要的是要让他们学习认识主，敬畏主，让神的话从小能够种在他们的心中。
All those things are good, but above all of those, we need to make sureThat they are trained in the word of the Lord, that they understand God's instructions.
这取决于我们做父母的怎么看待我们的儿女。你觉得你的儿女是你的吗？还是他们自己的？还是上帝的？
And it's really depending on how we view our children. Do we look at them as ours or theirs or God's?
如果我们觉得儿女是我们自己的，那我们就会把我们的一些想法放到他们的身上。
If we think that they are ours, then we will put our own thoughts and thinkings into them.
把我们年轻的时候没有实现的梦想投射到儿女的身上，让他们，我没有机会学钢琴，我要让他好好学钢琴。把这种想法放在儿女的身上，这好像是把儿女当成你自己的。
And we will project those unaccomplished dreams that we had, that because we didn't learn music or didn't play piano, that we would not want our children to do so.
如果我们觉得这孩子他们有自主啊，他们是属于他们自己的，我们就会放任不管他们。
And if we believe that they are themselves, then we will just let go and let them do whatever they want.
我们会觉得说让他们去自由，让他们自己去选择。
And we'll give them freedom and let them choose whatever they want.
甚至在认识主的事情也放飞他们，说哎，他让他们自己选择啊，不要强迫他们，让他们这个将来长大以后自己选择信还是不信耶稣。
And then we'll say, even in the matter of faith, we let them choose when they grow up, they can decide whether they want to believe or not.
这些都是错的，因为这个孩子不是属于我们，也不是属于他们自己，这些孩子是属于上帝的。
And all those are wrong because that child doesn't belong to us or themselves, but to God.
儿女是上帝的产业，我们做父母的只是在这短短的几十年当中啊，替神去教养他们，引导他们，最终。 他们是属于上帝。
And children are the inheritance that God has given us, and in this short period of time that we have to lead them to follow God.
我们能够在儿女身上做的最重要的事情，就是从小把他们引到上帝的面前，引到主耶稣基督的里面。
The most important thing we can do for them is to lead them to God.
所以总结一下，很清楚这里面的四个原则啊，两个给儿女的，儿女要听从父母，孝敬父母；做父母的不要惹儿女的气，要照着主的教训和警戒去养育他们。
So to summarize four principles for the children: obey your parents and honor them, and for the children, do not embitter. For the parents, do not embitter the children, and to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
最后，我想对我们当中孩子已经长大的父母讲几句话。
And finally, I want to say a few words to those parents whose children are already grown.
在我们长大成人的儿女当中，有一些已经渐渐离开了主。
In our adult children, some of them has already gradually left the Lord.
从小我们带他们来上主日学、来教会，但是他们上了大学、工作以后，就慢慢的离开了神，也不再认识神。
We brought them here to Sunday school, to church.But when they become adults, they gradually left the church.
他们已经成人了，不再像小的时候了，甚至我们跟我们成年的儿女之间的交流、说话都产生了困难。
And they are adults, and sometimes even in our communication with them, we have difficulties as well.
或许是因为我们过往做父母的时候犯下了一些错，造成了这些的后果。
And it may be because we made some mistakes when we brought them up.And to create these consequences.
或许是因为这些孩子们那种反叛的个性，没有学习顺从父母、顺从上帝。
And maybe it's because of the rebellious, sinful nature that they have not learned to obey the parents and obey God.
或许是因为他后来交的一些朋友对他造成了影响，这个社会的环境给他造成了一些不好的影响。
Or maybe they have come across some friends or the society to give them bad influence.
或许这些因素都在其中。
Maybe all of those factors are part of it.
弟兄姐妹，我们不要放弃。
But brothers and sisters, do not give up.
上帝没有放弃我们的儿女，我们要体贴上帝的心肠。不论发生什么样的事情，不论现在的情况多么的艰难，不要放弃。
And God has never given up on our children. So no matter what situation we are in, do not give up.
我们学习用一个更长的眼光，一个永恒的眼光来看待我们的儿女。
Look at our children with an eternal perspective.
若是我们在过往有一些做错的地方，我们要学习认错，我们要学习悔改，回到上帝的面前。
If we have committed some mistakes in the past, we need to learn how to confess our sins.
若是因为他们的反叛，我们要好好的为他们祷告。
And if it's because of their rebellious nature, we need to pray for them.
不要放弃。
Do not give up.
奥古斯丁在年轻的时候也是一个很反叛的、不听父母的一个追求自由的一个年轻人。
Augustine, when he in his youth, was also a very rebellious young man.
但他有一个不肯放弃的母亲，流泪为他祷告。
But he had a mother who would not give up and would pray for him constantly.
那在教堂里祷告，流着眼泪祷告，那个主教看到的时候讲了一句话，这个有不同的版本，一种版本说，你的那个孩子，你为那个孩子流了许多的泪，那个孩子不管是谁，他一定不会灭亡。
And she would pray and cry so much in the church, the bishop would say to her that your child will not be destroyed because of all your tears.
另一种的版本是讲说，你用眼泪所浇灌的花绝不可能枯干的。
And it really was translated as the tears that you shed for that flower would never wither.
讲的是同一个意思。
Same meaning.
上帝是他们的主。
God is their Lord.
我们借着祷告，借着持续的守望，把他们带到上帝的面前，上帝不会抛下他们不管。
Through prayers, we bring them in front of God. God will not give up on them.
学习仰赖上帝。
Learn to trust in God.
我们自己学习信靠顺服上帝。
We need to learn how to trust and obey.
让神的恩典借着我们临到我们的家庭，临到我们的儿女。
So that God's grace would continue to come upon us and our family.
我们接下来唱一首回应的诗歌，就是信靠顺服。
And we'll be singing a song of response, trust and obey.